All right, Matthew chapter number 6. Let's begin reading in verse number 19. If you'd like to stand in reverence to the King James Bible, God's word for English-speaking people. We're thankful for that. The Bible said in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I don't know if you remember what I said this morning. Until God has your heart, He is not your treasure. Amen. If God's your treasure, He will have your heart. Verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, verse 24, message for tonight. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to help us to say what you want said in this service tonight. I pray I'll be sensitive, God, to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you'll get the glory. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you, Lord, for anointing the song service tonight. And Lord, for the blessings of God that's upon our life. Lord, you've truly, truly been good to us. You've been good to all of us. And Lord, I want to thank you for that. Lord, it's always right to be grateful. It's always right to be thankful. And dear Lord, I've thought about that list of those signs of the perilous days and last days. You said one of those is that people's going to be unthankful as well as unholy. And God, I pray you'd help us, Lord. And then that passage in Romans 1, that wicked bunch, Lord, it's made it clear that they were unthankful. Lord, forgive us for being unthankful, for your many manifold blessings upon our lives, seen and unseen. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to honor you and desire that you would be our all in all and that you'd get all the glory. Work in our service tonight, your service, for your glory. Save sinners and stir the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Keep your Bibles open and we'll be right in this verse of Scripture, this passage. What we're dealing with is a series of messages on why worry. Why worry? And of course, you can do your own research on worry and there's no benefits to it. There's no physical benefits to it. There's no mental benefits. There's no spiritual benefits to it. There's absolutely nothing positive that comes from worry. Absolutely none. And so with that in mind, why worry? Amen. Isn't that the truth? In fact, when I do that, and we all do that, it's never right, but we still do it. When I worry, it defeats me. When I worry, it discourages me. Isn't that right? And that right there in itself ought to be a means and a reason for me to reject that very term and that thought of worry is what it's doing to me spiritually. And look at where God's brought us from. God's already brought us through enough. We've already seen enough. God's done enough that we should never worry again, that we should trust Him. Did you know you can trust Jesus? But can you trust Jesus? That's the thing. You can trust Him. But can you trust Him? You see the difference in that statement. Anyway, as we come into this passage of Scripture, what we're dealing with in verse 19, 20, and 21, we're talked about the sphere of worry. There are two spheres here. One is the cause or the area of worry, and that is earth. And then verse 20, it deals with heaven. There's nothing in heaven to worry about. And as we look at these verses, there's a cause. There's a negative and then there's a positive. Just like there's earth, then there's heaven that will counter it. Heaven is the focus. And if we're focusing on heaven, we're not worrying. So it deals with the sphere of worry. And then we come into verse number 22 and it talks about the sight of worry or the seeing of worry. It goes from dealing with our heart to dealing with our eye. And there's a connection between the two. In fact, Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse 51, Jeremiah said this, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." Jeremiah is plainly saying, my heart's been affected by what I see. And the devil knows that, and God knows that. Amen. How many times did Jesus say, look? Lift up your, or the word behold. Look at, lift up your eyes and look on the heart, fields that are white in the harvest. How many times did the Bible said that Jesus saw the multitude and was moved with compassion? Mine eye affecteth my heart. That's true spiritually, but it's also true carnally. Your eye noticing and looking and focusing on carnal things will affect your heart in that fashion. And so we looked at that in verse number 22 and 23, the seeing of worry. Worry comes from what you see. Let me give you this right here. I meant to give it to you earlier in the messages, but Lord just give it to me a couple days ago and I wrote it down. You never worry about what's in God's hand. You worry about what's in your hand. Amen. And really what's in your hand should be in God's hand. Isn't that right? But when we try to hold on to the things in our life, you know, we try to hold on, we try to fix it, we try to figure it out. That's where worry comes from. I don't worry about what's in God's hand. I worry about what's in mine. And I need to discern what should be in His and what should be in mine. Amen? But look at it in verse number 22 and 3, deals with the seeing of worry. But then we come into verse 24 for the message tonight, and it deals with the service of worry. And you say, preacher, and I mentioned this morning, and it's worth repeating tonight, the reason that I'm connecting verse 19 through verse 24 to the context of worry that's found vividly dealt with in verse 25 through 34, where five times you find the word take thought or take no thought, referencing the worry, anxiety. And so, but the word therefore in verse 25 is where we're getting the connection. He comes down through here dealing with the sphere, dealing with seeing, and now dealing with service in verse 24. And he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. So there's a connection here. And can we not see in verse 19, 20, 21 that there's something there about us worrying? Everything you worry about in some form or fashion is connected to your treasures or what you treasure. Amen. Lay up not up for yourselves treasures on the earth. That's where your worry comes from. Most of the time it's in something to do with money, something to do with that which money buys or what you could have if you had money or whatever, and worry comes in. So, and then in verse 22 and 3 deals with what I can see. What, am I looking horizontally or am I looking vertically? Am I paying attention to what God's doing or am I looking at what people's doing? Amen. But verse 24 is just as true as the others. Worry will have a service. Worry will be a master. You cannot serve. The Bible said that you cannot serve two masters. Amen. And if you're serving one, then you're not serving the other. And in light of the context of this passage that's dealing with taking thought or worry, and that word therefore reaching back and connecting to the previous verses, then if worry is in your life, you are serving that worry. That worry is a master in your life. Worry can excel to a level of domination in your life. And a lot of people in church, they don't have no joy. Now, the tomb is empty, the blood's on the altar, Jesus is still alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, right hand of the throne of God, but they have no joy. Why? Worry. They're enslaved. That word serve means to be a slave. They're enslaved to worry. Amen. Amen. You can't serve God because you're serving worry. You're serving the master of worry. And you can believe that, amen? There will be a service that is attached to worry. Jesus goes from dealing with the impossibility of living in two, or in, as I wrote it down here, the impossibility of living the double sphere life. Verse 19, 20, and 21. You just can't live both lives. You can't live a life devoted to this earth or this world and a life devoted to heaven at the same time. He's expressing the one or the other. You're living one or the other. You can't live both. You're living one or the other. I call that a double sphere life. And then he moves on and deals with a double-sided life. You can't have both. You can't have the single eye and the evil eye at the same time. It's either or, and you can't have both. Amen. But now he moves into verse 24, and he's talking about a double service life. You cannot serve two masters. That's emphatic. You cannot. He closed the verse by saying, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do that. He starts the verse by saying, no man can serve two masters. The word master here in the verse means a supreme in authority. Is it possible to let something or someone other than God get that big in your life to where they or it is exercising supremacy of authority in your life? Amen. You know why you're down? When you get down, it's because your master said to get down. No, I'm not talking about Master Jesus. I'm talking about master circumstance. I'm talking about whatever it is or whoever it is that you're worrying about. That worry is in the position and it desires to get to that point to where it is in authority in your life. It tells you you're down, you're sad, you need to quit. Amen. Supreme in authority. Here's what that word master means. Also, controller. Oh, yes. How many of us are controlled by the things that we worry about? Instead of the Lord, that's the one that's supposed to be the master in our life. One master, and his name is Jesus, but how many times we let worry and things and situations and circumstance get to the place to where it takes that position of authority in our life? Amen. And you're enslaved to it. You're allowing worry to dominate. You're allowing worry to dictate how you feel. Well, are we going to have a good service tonight? Well, no, we'll see how I feel. Amen? I figured we'd have a good service last Sunday because the Balls finally won one. Can you believe that? Intentional or accidental, I don't know, but I know this. We had a good service. I hope it ain't related to that. Say amen right there. Supreme in authority, control. No man can serve two masters. Who or what is in that position in your life? If the Lord is in that position, then there's no other. He has no challenges. He has no competition. But if worry or situation or circumstance is in that position of mastering your life, then where's the Lord at? You can't have two masters. So if worry's mastering you, then where's Jesus? Where is he at? He's not mastering you. And by the way, I think it's pretty hypocritical if we refer to him as master if he is not mastering our life. Amen. So it talks about this double service life. It's impossible. Worry is a service issue. Who or what are you going to serve? Who or what are you going to serve? Amen. What you are worrying about will be a master over you or will put a master over you, under which you obediently serve, and you're rooting God out of that position. He deserves to be the master, only one that deserves to be the master. Amen. Beware of the dominating force of worry. It will master you. And anything or anyone that holds that position of authority and control in your life, other than Jesus Christ, will ruin you. Homes have been destroyed over worry. Marriages has fell apart over worry. Young people have got out of church over worry. Preachers have quit the ministry over worry. It is not, listen, it is not a light thing. It's not something that you should make light of. It will ruin you. There have been people that have committed suicide because of the domination and the mastery of worry in their life. Oh, I can handle it. Preacher, it's not going to go but so far. Now, wait a minute. Which one's in charge? If I read that correctly, you're the one that's serving. You're the one that's in the service or the slave position, and it just goes hardly without mentioning that if you're a servant, that means you're doing what you're told. And so if your situation is mastering you, your feelings are mastering you, amen, your circumstances are mastering you, how people treat you is mastering you, then you are going to be defeated. You are going to be dried up spiritually. You're not going to have any joy, and you're going to be like a leaf blown in the wind spiritually. And I want to tell you what's killing our churches is a lack of consistency. Up one service and pouting the next. In one and out the next. Ain't no wonder sinners don't have much confidence. They've seen us blown about by every little wind of situation and circumstance that comes in our life. They see us fearful and fretful and worrying about everything coming and going. And the bad part of that is not only the negative that it's causing in our life, but the fact that it's rooted Christ out of that position. Because you can't have two masters. If worry's mastering you, then where's Jesus? Amen, that's right. You can't have two masters. No man, it starts the verse, no man can serve two masters. That's all inclusive. That's me. That's you. If you've been saved 5 minutes, if you've been saved 50 years or more, it doesn't matter. All of us are in that category. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, anywhere, anytime can serve two masters. That's right. No man can. That is, no man is capable, no man is able to serve two masters. Why? Because you'll serve one and you'll not serve the other. So if you're serving worry, then you're not serving God. And I've never been defeated, I've never been down, I've never been out because I was serving God. Hey, come on now. I've never been defeated because I was serving God, but I have been defeated because I've been serving another master that I've allowed to come into that position. I can't tell you how many times I've been defeated over people. How many times I've been defeated over problems. How many times I've been defeated over my stinking self. Amen. That's right. Any person, anything that crawls into that position of domination and control and authority in your life. How many, this needs to be preached in every church I go in. This needs to be preached in every church. How many of us comes into church just like this right here? You know what I'm doing? I'm filling it out. Yeah. And if we don't put footprints on the ceiling, man, it was terrible. It's awful. Was truth preached? Was the Bible preached? Huh? We're so feelings controlled. And any time that we've ever been feelings controlled, we have also been circumstance controlled. Amen, that's right. Amen. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it in my life. I'm sick of it in my life, coming to church, wondering how you're coming to church. Y'all, did that come through pretty clear? I'm sick of me coming to church, wondering if I'm going to be able to enjoy the service, wondering if you're going to enjoy the service. I'm sick of that. Amen. That's right. What that is I'm allowing other things than the Lord to dominate and to have authority in my life. dictate to me how I'm supposed to feel. Dictate to me whether I'm going to worship or not. That is not God, friend. That's a God, but that's not God. Amen, that's right. God help us. The emphasis of the scripture is on the word serve. Amen. You can have more than one master, but you can't serve them. That's the emphasis. There's two masters, that's plural, but the service is singular. You can't serve fully, completely, both masters. And it goes on to say, and we're going to deal with that in a moment, you'll hate one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't have and you cannot serve two masters. Let me give you this right here. The word serve is referencing the quality and the quantity of your service. It's not dealing with partial service. And you know, I was thinking about it today, at best, most people in church only give God partial service. You know why? Because they're living two lives. They're living in two different spheres, verse 19, 20, and 21. They're living with double vision. They're having the single eye and the evil eye. They're looking this way one Sunday, and they're looking this way the next Sunday. And you are not made to look in two directions at one time. When you come to the stop sign, Brother Rob, and before you pull out, you're supposed to look. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? And you look that way, well, Brother Ivan, if I'm looking that way, that means I'm not looking that way. Then when I turn my head this way, that means I'm not looking that way. I cannot look in two directions. We are people of double vision. Some of the times we look this way, as we did in the song service. But then by the time we get home, we'll be looking this way. I'm sick of that. Is anybody in here sick of that more than I am? I'm telling you, I am sick of that. Where is that consistency at in our life? The only consistency I know in most of us is a flat line on the monitor. We're dead at 4 o'clock. Amen. But that's coming from a serving a different master. Partial service. But I want to, listen at this. Let me ask you this. Did God pay a partial payment for you? Does He deserve partial service? Amen. I'm dealing with something very important. Some of you ain't even paying attention. Yeah, I can tell who's your master. Say amen right there. Divided service. Partial service. God didn't pay for my sin. He didn't pay partial debt. He doesn't own me partially. He bought me completely. And therefore, He deserves to be my one and only master, one in authority and position of control in my life. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, and also chapter 7 and verse 23. Both of those references the fact that we've been bought with a price and that we're not our own. Amen. He deserves. Let me ask you this. This is good. Look at verse 24. And I'm going to read two words with emphasis and see if that is the title that God has in your life. Well, this got big to me. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Is that God in your life? Is that God the other? That's all He is. He's the other. Worry's brought in another, but God is the other. God help us. It's a wonder God does anything for us. Isn't that right? If it wasn't for Jesus, He couldn't do anything for us. That's right. Let me give you this, though, real quickly. Look in verse 24. He says in this verse, no man can. You see that? That's strong. No man can. Ends the verse by saying, ye cannot. But look. Let me just read it and I'll emphasize it. No man can serve two masters, for either He will. Well, that got big to me. God says you can't serve two masters, but here's what I'm going to say definitely. He will. He brings about a definite, he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You know what that he will says? That he will says you are worshiping something. I mentioned this morning that worship, a worry is a worship killer. But I've got to clarify that. It's a worship killer of God. Worry worships. Worry has a master. Worry has a master in your life. Worry will be a master. And when you're defeated, you're literally bowing down to whatever you're worried about. Come on, Preacher Acklin, hear your own preaching. Amen. That's right. When you get discouraged, you know what you're doing? You're bowing down to whatever's discouraging you. And you're saying, yes, Lord. What would happen to RBT if everybody here was a one master people? Anything that tries to get in that position, nope. We'll do our little Turn your head, talk to the hand. Hey, man. That's right. The point made by that, you cannot, and then the twice it says, he will. You will worship. You will serve one master. That's you. It's not that I'm not going to serve any master. You are going to serve a master, whether it's Jesus or worry. Now listen. Amen. I'm skipping down through here. Listen to this right here. This really good right here. Worry produces divided allegiance, pulls away our attention, affection, and action and accomplishment from the Lord and gives it to another. If I'm not serving one master, then I am serving the other master. And think of what shame and disgrace that is when we take what really belongs to the Lord, which is our worship, our service, our obedience, our submission. And that's what the Lord deserves. We take all of that when we're worrying. We take all of that should be given to the Lord, our master, our true master, and we turn and give it to situations and circumstances and people and problems that we're worried about. That's disgraceful, isn't it? That's right. Almost sounds like idolatry. Let me give you this right here. This is, Lord, give this to me actually this afternoon. I was just doing some word studies out of this verse, and I found out the word serve is used in Luke 15:29. The exact same word used in Luke 15:29. And here's what the elder brother said to his father. You remember the prodigal son passage? Luke 15:29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Did you hear that? He's telling the father, I've been right here faithful. I've been serving you. You've been my master. He said, I've not transgressed any of your commandments at any time. The elder brother said that. Of course, he got wrong in his attitude, and he said, yet thou not have yet never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. The part I want to emphasize is that the prodigal that went to the far country and the elder brother illustrates what it means to serve two masters, or try to serve two masters. You have the elder brother that stays and was faithful and was obedient to all of the commandments of his master or his father. Okay? Well, then on the other hand, you have what we refer to as the prodigal. The prodigal son, what's he do? He don't serve that master, his father, that deserves to occupy that position of authority in his life. He decides, I'm going to a far country. I want you to follow me now, this is good. He said, I'm going to a far country. No doubt he never gave one thought of this. I'm going to a far country and I'm going to have to serve another master. Never thought that. Never thought that. He thought, I'm going to get away from my master. You can read into it whatever you want to. He never left the Father's house for any good reason. Amen. The Father was as good to him as he was the other or any of the others. He did not leave the Father's house to go to the far country because of anything good. He no doubt left because of rebellion. He probably left because he was sick and tired of Master Dad telling him what to do and giving him orders. Brother Fultz, there's no doubt about it. He never thought once about going to the far country and being a slave to another master. But don't forget, twice in this verse it says he will. You will serve another. It's not that you just get out of church. You will serve another. It's not that you just quit reading and praying and turn your back on God. I want to tell you, you will serve another. That prodigal went to the far country. Where'd he wind up? Wound up in a hog pen serving another master. Serving another master. And when he was serving the other master, Brother Carroll, then he got to thinking how good the real master was in his life. Church, you think you got it bad? You think your situation's bad or what may be coming next week, next month, whatever. You think that's bad? You get out of church and start serving another master that don't care about you. Brother Randy, our Father, our Master Father cares about us. And everything He tells us to do or not do is for our good and for our benefit. But if we, for some reason, get discouraged and defeated and we think, I'm done, I'm through, I'm out of here, don't forget it. You will serve another. You will serve another. Amen. You can stay home, stay in the Father's house, stay in the will of God, be obedient to the Father, let the Master... Let the one that has the scriptural permission to be in that place of authority in your life, just take your position and submit to that authority. Amen. Because if you go to a far country, you may not choose the master. You may not choose the master that will master you. Oh yeah. That same boy that probably left the Father's house because of rebellion and commands and obedience, not being wanting to be obedient or whatever, I'm going to the far country, I'm going to do what I want to do. But he found out after being there a short while, he wasn't there doing what he wanted to do. He was there, being told what to do by another master. Well, amen. Worry will be that for you. Amen. We better get this, friend. I didn't order this. God did. This series on why worry, we better get a hold of it. If our church is going to survive what's coming in this country, amen, and coming against the churches, if you are going to survive individually, listen, we've got to get a hold of this. We can't get up in the morning and watch the news to see how if we're going to be spiritual or not. You can't get up in the morning and gauge your day off of what the newspaper says. Whether the sun shines or not, he's still on the throne. Thank God, amen. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It does not matter. He's still God, amen. That's right. And he's still got your best interest in mind. We can trust him, hallelujah. Amen, that's right. Oh, mercy, stay put. Stay where God wants you to be. Praise God, that's good. Don't go to the far country thinking that's the answer. That'll never be the answer. Oh, mercy. That's right. Lord, help us, Jesus. You can't serve in the far country and serve at the Father's house at the same time. Amen. And if you're not serving the Father, you will serve another. I want every young person to listen. It's not just a matter of you making a choice or I'm going to go do my thing. Regardless, you're going to have something or someone that is mastering your life. Yep. The elder son was faithful to serve the Father and have him as his only master. And that kept him from going to the far country. The elder son didn't go to the far country because he said this, this was in his heart. Well, I can't go to the far country because to go to the far country, I'd have to quit serving my master. If I'm going to go to the far country, then I'm going to have to leave the Father's house. I'm going to have to leave the will of God. I'm going to have to get out from under the authority of the one of my master. Amen. Well, amen, that's right. That kept him from going to the far country. Whereas the young one, the son that went to the far country, no doubt he thought, I'm just going to go have a time. I'm going to go live it up. And that's what the devil tells everybody. There'll be no penalty to go to the far country. The devil will tell you that. But oh my, the Bible said he wasted all of his substance with riotous living. He went down there with plenty and come back broke. Come back barefooted and broke in shame. Show me anybody in the Bible that went to the world and came back blessed. Naomi went to the, and she's the, amen. You study it out, friend. Naomi was the pusher behind Elimelech taking his family to Moab. She probably nagged on him every breath and of every day because they were in a famine, Brother Craig, in Bethlehem, Judah. You need to take us to Moab. I hear there's plenty down there. Even though it's God's washpot type of the world, nothing good said about it. You need to take us down there, and kept on and on and on to finally Abimelech loaded them all up and took them down there. But I want to tell you what, she regretted going the last day that she lived. Buried her husband and two sons in Moab and came back. And she said, Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant one. Call me Mara, for God hath dealt bitterly with me. She said this of her own mouth. She said, I went out full. When she went out, Miss Andrea, she didn't think she was full. They were in a famine. She didn't think we had nothing. We need to go to Moab so we can get something. But after she had been to Moab, and Moab had taken exercised mastery in her life. Oh, yes. And when she come back, she said, I went out full, but I could come home again empty. Amen. Better just stay with God while you're at it. Let me give you this right here and I'll be done. He says in verse 24, this is strong language right here. This is strong. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Brother Randy, do you see that? Who you serve is a love and hate issue. Now keep in mind, Brother Silas, if I'm bowing down to the Lord who is my master, then that says I love you. The one you choose to serve is the one that has your heart. So if I have the Lord Jesus as my master, the one in authority over me, the one that is in control. A lot of people want Jesus to be their savior, but they don't want him to be their master, because master means controller, the one that controls. So if I bow down to the Lord, that says, Lord, I love you. You're my master and I'm serving you. I'm loving you. Wait a minute. Do we not all agree right there? That's true. The master you bow down to and serve is the one you love? You agree with that? Well, then what happens when you serve another master? What message does that send to the Savior? Okay, Brother Silas, I'm bowing down to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my master. I'm serving Him. I'm obedient to Him. He has authority over my life. That says, Lord, I love you. But when worry comes in, I do this number. I turn to another and I bow down, and that, whether it's a circumstance or a person or a situation or whatever, whatever it is I'm worried about, now that is my master, which means I have given it my affection. Well, what does that say to my real master? Wait a minute, don't listen. You're loving one and you're hating the other. You know what it means? This is strong. I had to do like this today. I like I never got it swallowed. But when I turn and I worship my worry and something or situation or something else, I'm bowing down and it's lording over me. It's mastering me. It's exercising authority over me. Then that means I'm giving that my affection, my attention. It's telling the Lord, I hate you. Now, if that ain't strong, if that ain't stout, if that should not stir our hearts to watch out who's mastering us and who we're allowing and what we are allowing into our life to master us. Because God said you can't serve two. That you will love one. Amen. Not love two, but love one, Miss Stacy. And he said it very clearly. You will hate the other. Amen. You're right, son, can you believe that? That's strong. You said, preach, I'd never say that to the Lord. Probably it wouldn't come out of your mouth verbally, but if we're turning our back on the Master, the Lord Jesus, and He now does not have authority because we're not serving Him, we're not submitted to Him, we're not obedient to Him, then we're turning to a circumstance, we're bowing down to a problem, we're giving that our devotion while we're sending a message to the Savior of hate. I want to tell you, that's strong right there. Why don't we do this? Anything and everything that tries to get in our life and be a master, we just make the choice. No, Jesus is my one and only master. I bow to Him only. Amen. God said, thou shalt not have no other gods before you. And we're just going to say, circumstance, you're not a God. Situation, you're not a God. Problem, you're not a God. Amen, that's right. Jesus is my Savior. He is my Master. And I do not want to display any kind of hate toward Him. I want everybody to know He is the best friend. I want everybody to know that He is the best thing that ever happened to me. And that I love Him. Amen. And to do that, Brother Silas, what's that say? I love you, Lord, because you're my Master. Which means I hate the problems. I hate those things that's trying to creep in my life and trying to control my life. Amen. And then look at it. It says it another way right here. I wish I had time to preach this. I'm telling you, good gracious, there's meat all in it. He said, not only you hate the one and love the other, but he said, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. It's not just a love and hate issue. It's a holding and a despising issue. The one that you're allowing, whether it's the Lord, the true master, or whether it's whatever worry is brought in your life to master you, you are holding to one, which means you're caring for, you're holding it firmly, you're holding oneself in opposition to the other. You're embracing, adhering to, cleaving to another. While you're, on the other hand, you're despising the other. You're despising the other. Well, I'm telling you, I don't know if we're getting that, but that's just, I want you to get it. I want you to think about it. There's some strong words right there in verse 24. In fact, that word hate right there in Matthew chapter 5 is used twice. I believe it's verse 33 and 34 as feelings expressed between enemies. Hate one, love the other. Jesus is not my enemy. Situations and circumstances, anything that's trying to creep in my life and control my life and be a master in my life, that's really my enemy. If it's defeating me, it's an enemy. If it's draining me of joy, it's an enemy. You will hold to one and despise the other. You know what that word despise means? To think little of. To think little of, or to think little about. Because if I have Jesus as a master and He really is in that position in my life, He does have that authority in my life, Brother Craig, then I'm thinking little of and little about any of this other mess in my life. But worry is a preoccupation of the mind. Worry is mental. And I'm going to tell you what will happen when you allow things and situations and people and whatever else to get big in your life. It will cause you to hold to that while you despise the Lord, which means to think little of or to think little about. When you're worrying, look how little you think about Jesus. Amen. That's what the word despise means. To think little of, to think nothing of. The definition even went stronger. To think little of, or to think nothing of. And it also means to think against. The Lord's deserving more of that. Amen. And he ends up the verse by just simply saying, you cannot serve God and mammon. And that word mammon, I mean, it's directly linked to money, materialism. Which really, that's the whole, from when it's talking about laying not up treasures on earth, all the way down through there. It's referencing treasures. It's referencing money. Amen. And I believe that no doubt about all of our spiritual downfalls is connected to money in one way or another. 1 Timothy 6, what is it, verse 10? For the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. God help us. I hope God takes the message and drives it home in our heart. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer.